Welcome in the podcast The Instant When, the Tétinger Champagne House reinvents famous fairy tales. Let yourself be carried away by the magic of Christmas. Every week, discover our podcast inspired by famous tales and the magic of the holiday season.
The Nutcracker. When she reached the top of the stairs, Clara put down her enormous suitcase and headed towards the door at the end of the hallway. She couldn't help but smile as she entered her former teenage bedroom. Although it was over 10 years now since she'd left her family home, she still felt just as attached to the place as she did back then. Wistfully, she looked at her old posters, her dust-covered ornaments, and her bookcase, filled with the horror stories that she used to hold so dear. Her mother was calling her from downstairs.
"Clara, can you come and help me, please?"
"Coming," replied the young woman, lifting her suitcase onto her bed. Downstairs, everyone was in a flap. Clara's father was standing on a stool, trying to hang a star at the top of the tree. Her brother Fritz was struggling so much with an oyster that it was hard to tell who wanted to open who. And her mother was setting the table, on which she'd laid out her entire collection of Christmas decorations from over the last 10 years. Seeing this spectacle, Clara suppressed a burst of laughter.
"Don't just stand there," her mother said in a panicked voice. "Everyone's arriving soon, and we're still not ready."
"Calm down, Mum. Everything is going to be fine," her daughter reassured her. It was exactly the same every year in her family. They would have a discussion months in advance about organising Christmas Eve, and then wouldn't get around to preparing for it until the day itself. Clara had just finished helping her mother set the table when the doorbell rang. She was on her way to open the door when, passing the hallway mirror, she glanced at her Christmas Eve outfit. Her raspberry-coloured dress was just perfect. It went beautifully with her red lipstick and highlighted her fresh, glowing complexion. A wise choice. After this brief, narcissistic interlude, she carried on her way to the door to let in their guests. The whole family was together outside. Uncle Yuri, Auntie Olga, Grandpa Konstantin, they were all there. "Come in, come in," said Clara, hugging them one by one. But just as she was about to close the door, one last figure appeared from the darkness.
"Drosselmeyer," she cried, throwing herself around the old man's neck. "Mum and Dad didn't even tell me you were coming."
"Surprise,"
replied the old man, with a glint of mischief in his eyes. It was years since Clara had seen her godfather. They had drifted apart as a result of both her entrance into the working world and the old man's penchant for travel.
"What are you doing here?"
asked Clara, finally letting him breathe.
"Oh, you know, it's been a long time since I spent Christmas with a family, and my nephew was supposed to come and visit me."
"Oh, yes, you've spoken to me about him before, but I haven't met him. Is he coming later on?"
"No. Unfortunately, his flight was delayed and he's only going to get here tomorrow."
"Oh, well, come inside. Don't stay out in the cold."
The family reunion brought a dose of festive cheer. The children were already running all around the house, and the roaring open fire brought the perfect finishing touch to that unique Christmas spirit. The rest of the evening went swimmingly, and all the guests thought the meal was delicious. Clara's father was an excellent cook, it had to be said. His guinea fowl stuffed with prunes and walnuts was a unanimous hit. But the longer the meal went on, the more excited the children became. This was because, in Clara's family, tradition dictated that Father Christmas arrived with the presents just before dessert. So once everyone had finished, Drosselmeyer quietly disappeared to go and put on his red and white costume. A few minutes later, a very cheerful Father Christmas knocked at the door and came into the house to the sounds of the children cheering. After some magic tricks to entertain both the little ones and the grown-ups, he left everyone's presents at the foot of the tree before vanishing into the night. Busy unwrapping their new toys, the children didn't even notice Drosselmeyer come back into the house, his fake white beard still attached to his face. Clara removed it discreetly, and the old man took advantage of the moment to hand her a package.
"Oh, you shouldn't have," she told him. Besides, I didn't know you were coming, and so I didn't get you anything.
Ha ha, I'm too old for presents. Open it. I think you'll like it.
The young woman meticulously opened the package and pulled out a beautiful wooden statue. Oh, wow, it's incredible, she gushed.
A real nutcracker,
Drosselmeier told her.
Straight from St. Petersburg. I promise I'll tell you the story about it tomorrow.
Clara didn't know what to say. She had always shared her godfather's passion for wooden figurines, and this gift brought back many childhood memories. She planted a kiss on the old man's cheek and went up to her room to put the nutcracker away somewhere safe. She placed it on her bedside table, next to one of her old hairbrushes, then sat down on her bed for a moment. And the next thing she knew, she was lying down. Just a few seconds later, the young woman's eyes had closed and she had fallen into a deep slumber. But in the middle of the night, when the whole house was asleep, a noise woke her up. It was a very light noise, barely audible, but one which grew louder and louder until it sounded like thousands of little footsteps moving around Clara's room. Eyes wide open, she groped around for her lamp switch, and as the light slowly filled the room, Clara was left speechless by what she saw. For starters, everything around her seemed huge. Her bed, her shelves, and even her desk were all enormous in size. Or maybe she'd shrunk. But most of all, and even more worrying still, an army of rats were standing in front of her at the foot of the bed. There were over 100 of these creatures, and among them, standing on his hind legs, was their king. A crown atop his head, he was holding a scepter adorned with a blood-red stone. Staring Clara straight in the eyes, he let out an aggressive squeaking noise, ordering his troops to resume their advance. The army of rodents started moving again and proceeded to climb up the young woman's bed. Clara let out a cry of horror and tried to escape, but as she was only 30 centimetres tall, she lost her footing in the duvet and tripped over. One of the terrible king's subjects was already approaching. Clara stood up, but she wasn't quick enough, and the rat was very close now. He opened his mouth to reveal a row of yellow teeth, when suddenly a figure loomed in front of him. An imposing figure, swathed in magnificent red and gold attire, who knocked out the rodent with a swipe of his hand. Her rescuer turned to face her. Clara realised that it was her nutcracker. Her nutcracker had transformed into the most charming of princes. "Hurry," he said. "You can't hang around here." But no sooner had he finished his sentence when two other vermin dragged him over backwards. The man kicked his boot straight into the muzzle of one of his assailants, but it was too late. They tumbled into a heap at the bottom of the bed. Clara leaned over and watched the scene before her in horror. The nutcracker was fighting like a handsome devil, but there were far too many rats and they were attacking him from all angles. He was in the process of being overpowered when an idea came to Clara. She ran across the bed, jumped onto the bedside table, slid over, and just about managed to right herself. Then, once she had managed to stand up, she grabbed the hairbrush beside her. She cocked her arm and aimed her first shot at one of the rodents next to the prince when, at the last moment, she decided to throw it at the biggest creature of them all, the Rat King. Her brush flew through the air and hit the head of the Rat King with a loud thud. With one single movement, all the minions rushed over to help their monarch. Seeing that he was unconscious, the rodents scurried away as quickly as they could, bringing the remains of their king with them. Calm was restored in the room, and Clara let out a long sigh as she looked around her for the nutcracker. That's when she saw him, lying on the floor, completely immobile. Panicked, she jumped to the ground and rushed to the young man's side. As she took his head between her hands, which was still trembling, she noticed how handsome his face was. She was still looking at it, not knowing what to do next, when the young man slowly opened his eyes. Gazing back into Clara's eyes, he said, You saved me.
That makes us even, she replied, smiling.
They carried on looking at each other for a moment, which seemed to last an eternity. Then the prince stood up. Listen,
I don't usually do this, but I would like to thank you from the bottom of my heart.
You just did, she replied with a mischievous grin.
Yes, but if you'll let me, I'd like to take you away on a journey somewhere, a journey that I know would leave you with an unforgettable memory.
Clara wasn't the kind of woman to run off with the first man who came along, but this young man had a wonderful aura, which inspired confidence in her. And there was also the small detail of him having saved her from certain death.
Very well, she said. You lead the way, but I'm warning you now, I need to be back by tomorrow morning.
Of course, he replied,
a radiant smile beaming across his face. The man took her by the hand and led her down the hallway. Together, they went down the stairs, which in their eyes, given their size, seemed immense. They got to the bottom and then entered a space behind the stairs. The place was dark and dusty, but the wooden soldier had chosen the right spot. He went over to the wall and gently knocked on it 3 times with his index finger, then stepped back. For a few seconds, nothing happened. Clara looked at him perplexed, but when she turned her attention back to the wall, she saw a line of light appear, as if it were being drawn, and this line had soon sketched out a whole doorway. A doorway around 30 centimetres high that let out a ray of dazzling light when the prince opened it.
Ready?
He asked her.
Always,
replied Clara, trying to mask her fear as best she could. The young man took her hand, and together they crossed the threshold. Clara had closed her eyes to shield them from the light. When she reopened them, she uttered a cry of surprise. Still by the nutcracker's side, she was now flying over beautiful countryside. An incredible panorama stretched as far as the eye could see.
This is my world, the soldier told her. We call it the Kingdom of Delights.
The young woman didn't know what to say, and instead admired the scenery unfurling before her eyes. To her right, hills and mountains gave off a succulent aroma of turkey with hazelnuts. To her left, fields of sugar bordered rivers of shimmering water that seemed to sparkle like champagne. And in front of her, a huge Nougat palace overlooked this delicious landscape.
This is where I live. Come with me, I'll introduce you.
The couple hit the ground with a soft landing right in front of the palace. They knocked on the palace door. A lady with an enchanting smile greeted them on the steps.
You're here at last. I was scared I would never see you again.
Aunt Candy, this is Clara. She saved my life when the Rat King came after me.
Oh, what an awful character he is,
she shouted angrily. Then she pulled herself together and addressed Clara.
Excuse my rudeness, young lady. I'm delighted to welcome you.
Intimidated, Clara greeted her respectfully.
You're just in time. The show that we put on every year is about to start. Follow me, we'll take you to your seats.
Aunt Candy led them through a maze of majestic corridors and showed them where to sit. As soon as they got to their table, they were served an array of delicious dishes in sparkling crockery. Before their eyes, a stage rose several metres up from the ground.
The show is about to start, said the prince. Knowing my auntie, it's entirely possible that it's about me, he told her sheepishly.
On stage, a man in a rainbow-coloured costume stepped forwards.
Ladies and gentlemen, this evening we are going to tell you the story of the Nutcracker Prince. A prince with a heart so pure and so full of courage that he did not hesitate to wage war against the Rat King in order to rescue the kingdom's most beautiful flower, his sister. Having successfully saved her from the evil clutches of this tyrannical monarch, the Nutcracker Prince returned triumphant. But this was without taking into account the treachery of the rodent monarch, who, one fateful night, put a curse on the prince by transforming him into a mere wooden statue. And according to the prophecy, the only way that the Nutcracker Prince could regain his former appearance was by falling madly in love with a young woman from another world."
The man exited the stage and the show began. It was incredible, with a series of wonderful dances sublimely choreographed. Musicians played unknown instruments, and the whole thing ended with a ballet of young prodigies who performed jumps and somersaults in a perfect ensemble. As the applause reverberated through the room, Clara briefly closed her eyes and leaned against her prince. The clapping faded away. Everything around her went black. And she woke up. Back in her bed. Disappointed to realize it was just a dream, Clara got up feeling solemn. Downstairs, the children were already having fun with their new toys while the adults were eating breakfast. Clara was pulling out a chair to sit down on when someone rang the doorbell.
"Clara, my love, can you go and answer it, please?"
Her head still in the kingdom of delights, Clara did so reluctantly. And when she opened the door, she found herself face to face with the Nutcracker Prince, who looked at her with a huge smile. Clara couldn't believe her eyes. She blinked several times to make sure she was seeing correctly. After a long silence, while she struggled to find the right words to say, the young man shyly ventured,
"Sorry to disturb you. Maybe I've got the wrong house, but I'm looking for my uncle. He's called Drosselmeyer. I was meant to arrive yesterday, but I had a problem with my flight."
Clara came to her senses and beckoned him to come in, still speechless. Drosselmeyer joined them and hugged his nephew. Then, turning towards Clara, he said with a cheeky smile,
"It's funny, but I've got the feeling that you two have already met somewhere before. Have I made a mistake?"
Clara flashed an embarrassed smile at the young man before playfully punching her magician godfather on the shoulder. The end.
If you want to listen to more podcasts, please check our blog, theinstantwen.tetanger.fr, to learn more. Our podcasts are also available from all podcast platforms,